Hi, I'm William Tullett from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge.
And I'm Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
And welcome to the Pandemic Sensory Archive, a collection of voices from sensory experts on the fate of the five senses during and after the COVID-19 pandemic.
This project has been sponsored by the British Academy, and we hope that you enjoy the interview. All right, just to start us off, do you want to introduce yourself and give us a sense of your expertise when it comes to touch?
Well, my name is Mahalia and I'm a sole trader hairdresser, and I've been doing it for over a decade now. And I guess when it comes to touch in my industry, it's pretty much like we're always touching our clients and their heads and whatnot, and sometimes they have like emotional responses in the chair, and you do hug them, you know, because you form relationships with these people. And one of those parts of it is like a physical, if you hug them when they're, especially if they're having a bad time, or sometimes if they're having a good time, like they're happy to see you and stuff like that, if that makes sense.
So it's, I guess, one of those professions where you can't help being close to people.
Yeah.
And touch is also really important because you're touching their scalp in order to, you know, wash their hair and cut it or color it. So, I mean, but you mentioned the kind of emotional aspects of that touch. Do you think the fact that you're touching people in this place on their body that they don't really get touched by many people, is that part of the intimacy?
I think so, because it's, you know, I tried to remember to ask consent before touching someone's hair, even though that they've come into the salon in order to get their hair done. It's always important to ask if you can touch them, because it is a personal thing, because you're really close to their faces as well. And I personally don't really like being touched, so I try to think of how the other person feels with that. But I also, yeah, it's definitely like an, like not a romantic intimate, but it's an intimate thing, because you know, you are being allowed to touch them in order to do your job. And I think it does help form a bond and relationship between yourself and the client. And it does create like a safe area for them to talk as well. And that can bring on emotions, especially like if the touch that we do is very, you know, in a calming way, you know, they're always very relaxed and they can be themselves and open up, I guess.
Do you find that there are particular moments in the salon visit where that happens more?
I think it's usually, for me, with my long-term clients, it's a bit different. We'll just open up about everything. I think it's when I'm actually doing usually color work or cutting, not so much at the basin, that's usually the chill quiet time, but when they're at the chair and they've got to sit there and stare at themselves for an hour or so, that's usually when we'll be talking and things will come up, kind of thing. So during the physical part of the service, not so much when they're processing, when I've left them alone, or when they're at the basin and I'm quiet doing, you know, washing their hair out or telling them what I'm using and why.
Yeah, okay. And so obviously there's this very physical kind of aspect to your job. What has been your experience of touch during the pandemic? How has it been affected?
Well, I guess for me, through last year I was closed. I've come back to work from March, and I don't hug my clients anymore, which is weird, because usually when they come in, like pre-COVID, I would be hugging them, like, how are you going? As soon as I saw them, and when they were leaving, I've had clients tell me things that have happened to them during COVID, and I haven't been able to give a proper emotional response of comfort of a hug. Instead, my way of hugging now is I put both of my hands on their shoulders, but when I'm standing behind them, that's my way of hugging them in order to maintains somewhat of a social distance with this job. It's quite hard. So I definitely feel like for me, it's like affected the way I go about doing my job, because I can't offer that friendly hug like I used to, when it was something, you know, you didn't even think of doing it. You just do it, you know, and I have to actively, you know, say no when my clients come running up to me to give me a hug and I'm like, oh, sorry. And now again, with the lockdown, I'm going to be even more funny about it again. So yeah, that's how it's affected at least my relationship with clients.
And I mean, has that been upsetting for you? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it has, because I think it's part of the experience, you know, like I know it's all about getting your hair done and feeling good about your color and cut that you just got, but a lot of the time it's the experience for clients, because you can get a pair of scissors to cut your hair, or you can get a box dye and do it yourself. So the thing that you don't get doing it yourself is that bond and that experience that you get in a salon. And to take away something so small but has such a massive impact is quite sad, you know.
And one of the things a lot of people talked about during some of the longer periods of lockdown in 2020 was how difficult it was to not have anyone touching them at all.
Yeah.
You know, to be, you know, not even able to go to a hairdresser and have someone touch you in that space.
Mm.
Was that something, you know, you've heard from clients?
Yeah, they did feel quite isolated. And a lot of them, a lot of them did have partners, but a lot of them actually had breakups after the lockdown when it had lifted. And so some of them were fortunate enough to have physical touch through a partner or a friend or a housemate, part of the bubble. But I think with my clients, I think it was more how they were feeling about how they looked because of, you know, the regrowth in their hair not looking how it normally does. And I think that might have, if there was feelings of isolation as well from touch, it might have been amplified from not liking what you saw in the mirror, you know, and then that isolation aspect to it too made it worse than what people would feel like, I don't know, just leaving their hair for 3 months not thinking about it in comparison to the lockdown, and then yeah, not having like a physical connection with someone in any aspect, if that makes sense.
I mean, what was it like when you first reopened? What was the dynamic like
for me or my clients?
Both. I mean, how did you feel and how did they feel?
Well, for me it was quite daunting because I'm super paranoid about getting COVID. I still wipe down all my groceries and whatnot. I've still been wearing a mask before all this went down again. Some of my clients have been cool to wear masks. I leave it up to them, but now they have to. So for me it was daunting, but it was also nice to have some normalcy back in my life. So, you know, it took me about a month to get back in the swing of things and get used to it again. It will probably take me about a month again after this one. But my clients, they had been a little bit more out and about than I had been because I never left the house. So for them to come back, they were really happy to see me. They're really happy, yeah, to get their hair done. But they were more so happy, yeah, to see me. And I was just happy to see them as well because they're like friends and family to me. I've been doing their hair for so long now. So it was a nice experience, though it was scary, you know, at the same time. Bittersweet kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, did you sense that the customers felt differently about being touched or being close to you?
No, they were actually fine. They would run at me with hugs and I had to bat them away with a stick. They're like, no. They were, I guess because it's like seeing an old friend after you haven't seen them for a while, you know, that picking up from where you left off, that's how it felt. Like I felt like I'd saw them the last time they were due, even though it was way over a year for some of them. So that aspect didn't change between us other than the, oh, can't do a hug. And they were like, oh, okay, kind of thing. But everything else of the service stayed the same.
And I suppose what it indicates is, you know, everyone has different feelings about how safe they feel or how at risk they are for different reasons with the pandemic. And so, you know, I guess for you, is part of the problem that you're coming into contact with so many people during the day, whereas for the customer, you know, they just feel like they're coming into contact with you.
Yeah, that's it. because I guess for some of them it's a day off and they're not doing much that day. Like when I ask them, what are you doing for today or this week? And they're like, oh, just working. And a lot of them, you know, they have been out and about more, but they've had more people over at the house or going to dinner parties at other people's house instead of actually going out. Some haven't been gone back to gigs and all that yet. So I guess there's a difference in, I guess, attitude and towards these things when you go outside for one reason rather than saying I can see up to 8 people a day at work alone kind of thing. And also, you know, public transport back and forth gives me the because of the amount of people and contact with different people. But for them, some of them drive and it's just that one thing they have to do and they look forward to it, forward to that, you know. And don't get me wrong, I do too. It's just times like this, when going back to work, we still have cases, really makes me uneasy.
Yeah, and I mean, in Australia, during the first lockdown in 2020, hairdressers and barbers were allowed to stay open, didn't go down well in the industry. It sounded like a lot of people were very stressed out about that.
Well, I closed on the 16th of March 2020, before the stage 3 lockdown came into effect, because I didn't understand COVID. I didn't understand what was happening at the time. My partner in November got influenza A and it made him very unwell. And I saw what happened to him and he was still dealing with the repercussions of that. So I saw what influenza A had done to someone firsthand, and they said COVID is worse than a flu and I didn't want to take a risk. I also have, like, I like to call my clientele a mixed Allen's bag of lollies. I've got everybody. I've got people that are very vulnerable in the community for many reasons and also with their health. And I didn't want to risk not only my health, partners, or my clients during any of that until I knew what was happening. And I remember watching all the press conferences and how they allowed hairdressers to do 30-minute haircuts, which was ridiculous because that means we can see 16 people a day instead of 8 compared to an 8-hour day, an hour for every client. So then you see more people. It was ridiculous. That lasted like 12 hours. So I was definitely one of those people that lobbied to push, like, to close, you know, salons down alongside with beauty, because I didn't really see a difference between, you know, like a nail tech doing services to a hairdresser. If not, it's probably safer to get your nails done than a haircut or color, considering, you know, at the base and you're breathing on us, we're breathing on you. Doing a fringe trim, if you had a fringe before, we're right in your face. So I didn't think it was safe. And I've been doing this for as long as everybody else, but over a decade now, that I know how close I can and can't get to people. I know I've been sick from tonsillitis, laryngitis, colds, flus from clients, coming in sick or coming off the illness. I just couldn't risk it, kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's really one of those professions where the physical proximity and the touching is inescapable.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it. There was a lot of joke videos about people putting a hairdryer, like taping it onto a broom and a brush, trying to blow dry someone's hair from 1.5 meters away. It's ridiculous. It doesn't work. And applying color, they're literally like throwing it at the color, the client's head. It was obviously like staff, they were just joking around, but to show how ridiculous this whole thing was. Yeah.
And do you think that the pandemic has transformed our relationship with touch, and particularly in the salon?
I reckon it depends on the individual. For me, it's only changed I can't help people. For me, going back, it's the same, except I wear a mask and they will have to wear a mask now too. The conversation's the same. The way we go about things is the same. Obviously more OH&S, but, like, you know, with the services and all that, nothing has changed for me, or how I feel like my clients, they haven't changed either. It's just the hugging aspect, I find.
And I mean, do you think that, like, that's always going to be the case? Can you imagine it changing at any point?
Unless COVID goes away, for me personally, I probably won't be able to hug my clients, at least for this year. I just don't feel comfortable. And it goes as far as family too. It took me, like, months. I think it took me till about March to hug like family members and friends. And even then I will stop that again now that we've had this, you know, break lockdown and break out of clusters. So that all starts again. It will take me a few months to get used to that again.
Do you think, like, what do you think the future of touch will be in a post-pandemic world if we do get there?
If we do get there, I'm sure things will go back to, I don't like saying normal because normal was never really good for anybody. Hopefully a better normal. I think people would be able to engage in life in a good way if this is able to get controlled in the world, not just Australia, but the world. Because until other countries are able to get a handle on it, we're going to be dealing with this for a long time. Unfortunately. It's a hard pill to swallow. Yeah. When you realize that this is going to go on for a long time and it could be a seasonal thing like the flu, that's the only way I would see it like a flu, is that it's always going to be around and we're going to have different strains and we have to keep getting vaccinated for different strains and all that, like we do with the flu. It's kind of soul crushing to know this might be a forever thing, you know, but it is what it is. As long as we're able to live and manage things and be safe, that's the main thing, you know, as best as we can.
And is there anything before we wrap up that you'd like to add about touch and your experiences?
What way? Sorry, I'm not very great at interviews.
No worries. I just wondered if there was kind of anything we didn't cover about, you know, your experiences during the pandemic that you wanted to bring up.
Well, I think during the pandemic, I was able to get a lot of mental support from my clients, like online support, which was really nice. And I was able to support them, especially even just during this 2 weeks, how the community has banded together to try and raise funds for sole traders like myself that aren't eligible for any funding, and how my clientele have gotten involved with helping with that. They've also gotten involved in helping provide food for people that are really struggling. And I don't know, I feel touch is important because it does help. But also I think the mental aspect as well, then the mental support goes a long way too when touch isn't available.
Oh yeah, that's such a great point to end on. So, and a positive one too. So thank you so much for making me today. It's been fascinating.
Yeah, hopefully I answered okay. I'm a better hairdresser than interviewer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, stay safe.